Hey, welcome to a special bonus episode of Culturetopia, the arts and culture podcast from National Public Radio. I'm Netta Ulibi, reporter for NPR's Arts Desk.
And I'm Zoe Chase, producer at the Arts Desk.
This episode of Culturetopia is all about teen idols and why we can't resist them.
Nothing at all.
Smells like teen spirit to me,
exactly.
Zoe.
Half a love never appealed to me.
You know, Frank Sinatra is such a venerable figure in American music that it's easy to forget that as a young man, he was a dreamy teen idol who attracted thousands upon thousands of screaming Bobby Soxers who would rush him at his concerts, and the security guards would actually have to peel them off him.
At 27. Let me just say.
Right. An age very close to our own Zoe Chase's.
That usually happens when I leave NPR. Bobby Soxers come flocking to me. But I'm cool with it.
I was always a Bing Crosby girl myself. And, of course, Justin Timberlake.
That's what I'm talking about. Similar to All or Nothing at All, this track took over the pop charts in the early 2000s. And when NSYNC's second album dropped, No Strings Attached, in 2001, it sold 2.1 million copies in 1 week. And that, Netta, is never going to happen again.
But that does not mean the end of the teen idol either, does it, Zoe?
No, and that's why we are starting this special feature with music writers Maura Johnston and Jay Smooth from illdoctrine.com. It's conversations about songs at the top of the pop charts. And this week we're looking at 2010's teen idol, and that's Justin Bieber.
A.K.A. the Messiah.
Oh, Justin Bieber has the adorable smile, the floppy hair, although it's, I don't know if it's very floppy because it seems sort of like welded to his head sometimes.
Yeah, I don't think it's been confirmed that he actually has a forehead. We've got the thousands of young girls screaming. We've got the parents wondering who the heck is this guy.
I do think we have a bona fide teen idol on our hands here. In a sort of 2010 twist on things, he also has this ridiculously large presence on the internet.
If you go to YouTube and search the word baby, his video for that song Baby comes up number one, which will let you know how big it is.
Yeah.
And you know how popular babies are on YouTube.
Yes. As far as Twitter followers go, he's not one of the biggest, but he certainly is one of the most important. People comment on him, whether it's positive or negative. And I think actually what makes the teen idol so potent is the fact that his presence also infuriates a lot of people, you know? Like, he's popular, and that popularity annoys people in a sort of way that a younger sibling would annoy an older sibling by tugging at his shirt all the time.
Right. And then for the Justin Bieber lovers, that reconfirms their commitment to him.
Exactly.
They all hate him, but I know that he understands me, so I'm standing by Justin.
Exactly, exactly.
So you'll see the haters and the lovers go back and forth on Twitter, and Justin Bieber is very savvy about embracing the hate and retweeting tweets that are negative about him.
Yeah.
He really has a knack for playing the social media game that I don't think your handlers or PR people could teach you.
When I was 13, I had my first love. There was nobody that compared to my baby, and nobody came between us, no could ever come above. She had me going crazy. Oh, I was starstruck. She woke me up daily. Don't need no Starbucks. Woo! She made my heart pound and skip a beat when I see her in the street and at school on the playground. But I really want to see her on the weekend. She knows she got me dazing, cause she was so amazing. And now my heart is breaking, but I just keep on saying.
So one thing that gets lost in the immediate discussions of teen idols is the talk about the music. One thing that's interesting to me about Justin Bieber is that his music is a lot more R&B influenced than, say, the Backstreet Boys or New Kids on the Block or, you know, music of that ilk, at least the initial releases by him.
Well, he's definitely being branded and groomed and marketed in a different way than a lot of the other young stars we've seen, like Taylor Swift, Miley Cyrus, the Jonas Brothers. And I think it was a natural fit for him since he first found notoriety on YouTube as the little white kid from Canada who sings black R&B songs.
Right.
And his first single, One Time, basically sounded like an Usher song. It seemed like a song Usher probably had ready for his next album, then handed over. And you see Usher introducing him in the video.
Right.
Yo, Usher.
JB, what's up, man?
I'm just playing video games with Ryan.
You think you can hold the house down till I get back?
Yeah, I can do that.
All right, my man.
Yo.
So he's definitely being shaped as a young white singer doing a black R&B idiom, but he seems to reach the same audience that Taylor Swift and Miley Cyrus do, in a way playing the role of a Pat Boone, giving America a white face for black music. But it seems like for this generation's Pat Boone, you need to see that he's friends with Little Richard in order for him to have credibility.
When a Mexican, my heart went knock, knock, knock. Now them butterflies in my stomach won't stop.
You know, I wonder if that's just a testament also to the way that pop radio is now, where R&B is a big influence on just every record that makes it into the upper reaches of the Hot 100. You know, people are pulling from all over to make what they think is the perfect pop song.
Yeah, I mean, I think this generation, just as we saw the younger generation being open to voting for Obama, I think hip-hop's influence in particular has made people accustomed to seeing a diversity of influences up on the screen at the same time making music, you know, seeing black artists draw from a wide range of influences in their hip-hop songs. I mean, I think people are accustomed to seeing diversity in the pop music landscape in a way that they weren't before. So maybe Justin Bieber is a sign of the future in that way.
Many have called, but the chosen.
And I think it's worth noting that Justin Bieber has had chart success that we don't usually see teen idols have. I mean, his latest album hit number one on the Billboard album charts, and he was the youngest male solo act to top the charts since Stevie Wonder back in 1963. So do you think there's any chance that 10 years from now we'll be looking back at little Justin Bieber the way we looked back at little Stevie Wonder? Are there any possible seeds of greatness there?
There might be some seeds of greatness. The key for him is going to be staying in the front lines of people's attention spans in this age where everyone is just paying attention to 10 different things at once. He actually follows 50,000 people on Twitter. You know, in my day, you could think about maybe seeing New Kids on the Block at the mall, but it was something that was totally unlikely and that would require various cosmic factors to align. Whereas with Justin Bieber, if you send him a message, the likelihood of him seeing your message and even writing back is much higher. And so it creates this closer bond between fan and idol.
So how do you feel personally? Are you willing to admit yet that you've caught a little Bieber fever?
I have a little bit of Bieber fever. I would say my temperature is maybe like 99.9 at this point in time. I think he's really catchy. I kind of love that he's so self-possessed.
There's something about him. He seems grounded and comfortable in his own skin in a way that when I see him in these interviews, he seems to be aware on some level that the Justin Bieber phenomenon is absurd. Like he sort of seems to be in on the joke already. So that makes me think he might be someone who could last.
And that makes him appealing to people like us who are outside of the demographic as well. Because if we see it as absurd and he's in on that joke, then we're all having a laugh together.
He seems to have just enough musical talent that he might be able to do something I really respect 5 years from now. So I'm looking forward to see what he turns into.
That's music writer Maura Johnston and the irrepressible Jay Smooth of illdoctrine.com.
Thanks for joining us for this special edition of Culturetopia.
We'd love to hear from you about other topics you'd like us to cover in this feature about songs at the top of the pop charts. Go to npr.org/culturetopia and leave your suggestions in the comments, and we will take that under consideration. I'm Zoe Chase.
I'm Netta Ulibi.
Thanks for listening.
Deserve me. I'm not alone anymore.